hip-hop artist Sugar Free once said, if you stay ready, you ain't got to get ready. Yeah. In college, the chapel choir opened our annual Christmas festival with the song, Keep Your Lamps Trimmed and Burning. I got my lamp right here. In today's gospel, we're tasked with staying ready. How do we do that? We make sure we have oil for our lamps. Now I know we live in 2025 and oil lamps are mostly a thing of the past. I even tried to find one. You can't really find one. But think of the lamp as your spiritual state. And the oil symbolizes grace and the Holy Spirit. Oil lamps need a wick, and that wick needs trimmed so the lamp will stay lit. Trimming that lamp to keep it burning means we have to actively maintain our faith, stay connected to God, and be prepared for Christ's return at any moment. The Lord says, do not be afraid. 365 times in Scripture, to be precise. Jesus is talking about our worldly possessions, that we ought to sell everything or give it away, because we will inherit the heavenly kingdom if we do. I don't know about you, but I like my things. So I'm not going to go home and hurriedly pack up everything and have a giant yard sale. If you read this scripture on a service level, you may be thinking Jesus is telling us to live without stuff. I would bet that most of us have more stuff than we really need. When my husband and I lived in apartments before buying our house, we would often move because rent prices skyrocket. And while this is a daunting task to do every couple years, it helped us purge stuff. We donated so much stuff over the years to local thrift stores that benefited nonprofit organizations. I don't say this to be praised or give a pat on my back. I say that because we're attempting to be good stewards by donating items that had life left in them so others could enjoy them, and keeping out of landfills. It also didn't help every time I donated, I also went in and shopped. You never know what you're gonna find there, right? So Jesus tells us not to be afraid and do not worry. Well, that's easier said than done, Jesus. Last month I preached on Luke 10 in the parable of the Good Shepherd, or Good Samaritan, I'm sorry. Jesus highlights the importance of helping those in need, regardless of their background. In Matthew 25, Jesus said, for I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, you did it to me. We must not fear others because they are different than us. Jesus said so, so we kind of have to do it. We must embrace all humankind. In fact, be both, human and kind. The great theologian of a galaxy far, far away, Yoda, once said, fear is a path to the dark side. Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering. Unfortunately, dear church, in this country, we have not followed the wisdom of Yoda. We're living in a time that centuries worth of snowballed fear has led to suffering. In this country, it started when the first Europeans came to this land. Fear led to anger, that anger spiraled into hate, and that hate led to so much suffering. Suffering comes in many ways. Suffering could be living with learned behaviors or stereotypes that are hard to break. Suffering could be holding on to something very personable, for fear of being hated. We all have something to fear. And we can fear spiders or mice or those crazy huge animals in Australia that can consume a human. But fearing our differences is not what Jesus asked us to do. When we fear our differences, we let fear take over, causing us to have unhealthy behaviors, such as vilifying one another because we think those who are different from us might harm us. our family or our community. When we try to achieve too much because we're afraid we will become irrelevant. Smiling and being upbeat to hide the feeling of deep sadness within. Those unhealthy practices often keep us at a distance from those who need help, for our fear of those less fortunate allows us to think they will hurt us, rob us, or worse. But faith is quite opposite of fear. Faith attaches itself to the assurances of God and frees us to be generous. St. John Chrysostom, a 4th century bishop of Constantinople, lamented about the class differences where he lived. He said, in part, "To deprive is to take what belongs to others, for it is called deprivation when we take and keep what belongs to others. By this we are taught then when we do not show mercy, we will be punished just like those who steal." Jesus is not telling us to sell off our possessions to live poverty over wealth, but rather lift generosity as a substantial aspect of Christian living. Now, I don't know if it's true, but the scripture could be the basis for Thrivent's t-shirts that boldly proclaim "live generously" on the front of them. And last week, Pastor CJ sang for us in the children's message, "There Is Enough." We live in a time that there is enough to eat, but people still go hungry. There is enough places to live, but people are still unhoused. People still live in poverty, even though there is enough. But systemic problems caused by the wealthy keep people suffering and keep those suffering at bay with proverbial walls. We should see the divine in each other, no matter the gender, sexual orientation, economic status, immigration status, or any other descriptors. The divine is within each of us, and we need to honor Christ by honoring our neighbors. From 1 Chronicles 29, we are here for only a moment, visitors and strangers in the land as our ancestors were before us. Our days on earth are like passing shadow, gone so soon without a trace. And a quote from an Australian Aboriginal proverb. "We are all visitors to this time, this place. We are just passing through. Our purpose here is to observe, to learn, to grow, to love. And then we return home." So, dear church, let us not build bigger walls, but bigger tables, and be ready for whatever comes our way.